91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today we welcome back Jay Abate, president and CEO of the Fort Lauderdale nonprofit ArtServe. She brings us info about their Red Eye reboot, an explosion of live art and entertainment scheduled for Saturday the 19th. Judith Bishop previews Mad Cat Theater's exciting new season. Bill Becker talks about his underwater festival in the Lower Keys. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and we welcome our new contributor, Ms. Marilyn Bauer, with her Palm Beach County Arts Calendar. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Judith Bishop previews a new season coming up for Mad Cat Theater. Bill Becker describes his underwater festival in the Lower Florida Keys. Chef Norman Van Aken whips up a word on food. And we welcome our new Arts Calendar contributor for Palm Beach County, Ms. Marilyn Bauer. Now we catch up with a tremendous not-for-profit in Fort Lauderdale whose mission is to provide programs, events, business opportunities, and facilities that help local and emerging artists turn their art into business. Because of the organization's great dedicated staff and infrastructure, it has helped to create a vibrant artistic community in Broward County. Their Red Eye Reboot event takes place Saturday, July 19th from 6 to 10 p.m., featuring artists, art performance, bands and DJs, digital art, comic art, fashion, food trucks, installations, short films, and spoken word. And today we welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat the president and CEO of ArtServe, Ms. Jay Abate, and good to have you back on the show, Jay.
It's great to be here, Ed.
Now, I know ArtServe exhibits, promotes, educates, instructs, collaborates, and conducts business. So tell me what ArtServe has been up to this year.
Well, we've been very busy, as you said, thanks to our small but mighty staff. We've done a lot of facelifting of the facility. We've done some assessment of needs of the creative community. And then we hit the ground running trying to raise a few dollars and cents to actually implement some of the changes. And we've started some new programs and focused a lot on collaborations in the community as well. I'm a really big believer in that collaboration creates success. And that nonprofits need to work together with each other as well as to hook up with the corporate community. So we've been busy, but I really think that our best work is ahead of us in the year to come.
Now, talk about collaboration. It's so necessary for the arts to get together and collaborate and cooperate together. You cooperated with an organization within your building on East Sunrise Boulevard. And tell us about that wonderful collaboration.
Well, we are so fortunate to have many residents tenants in the ArtServe facility, one of which anchors our building on the east side, and that is the Stonewall Museum and Library and Archive. And our last exhibit, which was called Art Antidote to Hate, which was really a way to celebrate respect, equality, and diversity through the art and really provide some positive social messaging through art. And one component, we collaborated in that exhibit with them on a film festival, and we also worked with the Pride Center. We also collaborated with the Oakland Park City Library to bring the Secret Symphony exhibit to them. So that was a great collaboration. We have many more planned for the new year. And we also have, you know, we're again so fortunate to have resident tenants like Gold Coast Jazz Society, who is an anchor in the building as well. So
they've been with you for a number of years.
Since ArtServe moved to that facility, almost 15 years ago.
Wow.
And you know what? We did some, as I said, some facelifting to the building this year, part of which included some landscaping. And we reached out to the community to get volunteers. And we had a lot of people that were there on the very first day of moving into the building. and helped with the landscaping almost 15 years ago. And our friends at Gold Coast Jazz were there. Some friends from Symphony of the Americas were there. Jody Leshinsky was there. So a lot of great supporters.
Now, tell me about your student programs.
Yes. Well, as part of the assessment and we did this year, we really felt that students needed their own membership. We've always had a lot of involvement with students. They enter our shows. We do programs with the school board. But this year, we really felt like they needed some additional support so that they're poised to enter the professional world of the professional artists when they are no longer students. And so we started a student membership, which we're going to really kick off big time in the new year, so that they'll be able to participate more in our workshops, renting our gallery spaces so they can do some private exhibitions and get that on their resume. And I think it's going to be a really wonderful thing. So if you have any student listeners out there, we hope you will go online and become a student member. It's very affordable at $25 a year.
Now, Jay Abate, the president and CEO of ArtServe, is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat, located at 1350 East Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, and you can get in touch with them at artserve.org or call them at 954-462-8190 or email them at information@artserve.org. And many more questions, Jay, but our time is limited, so let's jump into your big annual event, Red Eye, and this year you've renamed it Red Eye Reboot, scheduled for July 19th.
Absolutely. Well, we decided to reinvigorate it, reignite it. There's a lot of elements that the people love and adore, but we've added some really exciting new elements this year, such as adding some digital or projection art. We're very lucky. It's really come into its own as an art form in the last few years, and we're really lucky to have some installations by talented artists like Sri Prabha. We are also adding an outdoor stage so we can showcase some of the work of the wonderful bands like Wilton Drive, Octo Gatto, Osandara, Speaking Volumes, and Corey James Boast. And so I hope all your listening public is doing their rain dance to keep the clouds away. And we're going to be doing a twist to our body painting with some body sculpting. And that doesn't really resonate with radio listeners, so you're just going to all have to come out and see it. And one of the most exciting things with our live graffiti challenge, which is one of the most exciting elements of the Red Eye, is that we are going back to its original roots, which is in one of our wonderful education programs called Cans to Canvas, where it was taking kids getting in trouble tagging buildings and public places and mentoring them with artists who could show them if they channel their energies to tagging canvases, they can actually make money from their art. And so this year we're going to be tagging canvases, they're going to be tagging skateboards. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So much going on to increase a Red Eye Reboot this year. Live art performance pieces. Describe some of that. You'll have Body and Soul, Dance Theater, among others.
Yes, it's a hard to describe installation piece. You really have to come and see it to understand it and experience it. But when you come in that room, you're going to see a wonderful dance performance. You're going to see something very creative. You're going to see it intertwined with actual live installations, and it's going to be combined with some of the body sculpting. So it's really an art happening.
You mentioned the digital art, Sri's digital digital art, but more installations. Describe some of those.
In one gallery space, there's a very interesting installation by Erin Bassett, which incorporates textiles and fabric art along with digital and projection art. In another room, there is it's almost like a multimedia experience when you walk into there as well. Most of those types of the installations, many of them are there only for that evening. So you really have to come and experience them. Mm-hmm. The exhibit itself will stay up through August 15th. And all of the work available at Red Eye and at ArtServe all the time is available for sale. And it's all created by local artists. So I encourage your listening public to buy local. There is something there 24/7 for every price range, whether your price range is on the low end or the high end of the scale. And it's a wonderful way to support not only the artist community, but to support ArtServe and everything that we do for the artist community as well. This is a fundraiser for the organization, and we are always looking for ticket sales to help fund some of the renovations and improvements that we're going to do, such as in the beginning of the fall, we are going to be actually opening, adding a two to three actual working artist studios to the facility.
Wow.
So that's something that we've never had before, and that is only available, allowing us to do that through the support that we get from the community.
Tell me more about Michael Chase, and he's coming over from the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, bringing some short films.
He always puts together an amazing roster of films. They're something that appeals to everybody. They're funny, they're poignant, they're always interesting and artistic. He is, you know, curating an amazing list, and we just hope everybody comes and see that. And that's the great thing about Red Eye. You know, there's live bands on one stage. You go mm-hmm. in another room and there's a film festival. There's a spoken word slam going on in another room. Everywhere you turn, something's going on. And somebody once said, well, there's so much going on here. You just rub your eyes and they get red and you don't even know what's going on. So makes the title even Red Eye even more appropriate.
So you need volunteers. Hopefully there's a lot of volunteers that will come out of our listenership to support you. And you can contact Rebecca W. at artserve.org or call Rebecca directly if you'd like to volunteer on the 19th and help out ArtServe, 954-462-8190. In our last minute, no doubt you'd like to get some members as well.
We would love to generate some members. I know that there's a lot of artists out in the community there who really could benefit by being part of the organization. We provide so many support workshops, facilities, services that will help them build their profession and do what they do best, which is practice their profession in their art. So like you said, we like to help them turn their art into business. So we encourage them to sign up or just at least come to Red Eye, check it out, see what we have, and hope to get some new members.
Wonderful. Well, good luck on your great efforts. Jay Abate, our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat, president and CEO of ArtServe, once again located at 1350 East Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. Go to artserve.org to find out more about their big event coming up on July 19th, Saturday, Red Eye Reboot. It sounds like a bunch of fun, I got to tell you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jay, and good luck to you. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll celebrate the 30th Annual Underwater Music Festival with co-founder Bill Becker. It takes place tomorrow on the beautiful Lou Key Reef in the lower Florida Keys. Chef Norman Van Aken stirs up a word on food, and our arts calendar features our new contributor, Marilyn Bauer, Director of Marketing and Government Affairs for the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County. Now, our theater contributor, Judith Bishop, speaks with two resident playwrights and actors of an award-winning local theater company, which will soon celebrate their 15th anniversary. Watch out now, take a new word, falling swiftly.
Mad Cat Theater was founded in 2000 by Paul Tay, to provoke audiences and illuminate the darker regions of our mental and emotional landscapes. The company has sold out the house, won awards, and garnered praise from even the toughest critics. One critic wrote that Mad Cat is never satisfied plowing the same ground. They don't just think outside the box. The box is nowhere to be seen. To celebrate the upcoming 15th anniversary, Mad Cat is planning their new season with added gusto. Here to talk about the company and preview the season are multi-talented Jessica Farr and Theo Reyna. Thank you both for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. Jessica, you and Theo are both what I would call triple threats. You write, you act, you direct. Give us a quick rundown of your personal theatrical background here in South Florida.
Oh, sure. A triple threat. Haven't heard that one in a while. Thank you. Recently, we just wrote for the South Beach Comedy Festival, which we've written for the last couple years now.
Three years, I think.
3 years. That's right. Yeah.
Fourth if we're lucky.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they ask us back. Yeah. I think they have. Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, that was Gerald Ford's Super Freak, which Jess here and I co-wrote with Paul, who is our artistic director.
We're both company members.
Yep.
And I've been a company member. Well, I've been working with the company since I was in high school.
Yeah.
I've been a member for the past few years.
Yeah.
Theo, what are some of the highlights of your background here?
Well, I, like Jess, went through New World School of the Arts for high school. Mm-hmm. And then we both went abroad for college, but ended up back in Miami working with Mad Cat. Recently, last year, I had a production at Miami Theater Center's part of the Sandbox series, which was funded by the Knight Foundation. It was a grant for a new play, and that was called Knowledge of Noise, and that ran. And then after that, as Jess said, we worked on Gerald Ford's Super Freak. And right now I have a short play in the Summer Shorts Festival at the Arts Center, and that's called The Scottish Play, which they've kindly picked up, which we first did with Mad Cat, which Paul commissioned.
For a mixtape too,
which was a compilation.
Also part of that.
Which Jess had a piece in, which she'll tell you about.
Yeah, I had a piece called Nadier, which is also in, it's a finalist for City Theater's National Playwriting Award. So we're both going to be at the City Rights Conference.
Yeah.
They say that acting in a theater company is akin to being in a band. What are the similarities, and how would you describe your band? Yeah. Are you The Clash or Coldplay? You
know? The Clash, more than Coldplay, but for sure.
I think The Clash, I think you nailed it with The Clash.
I know, as soon as I heard that.
But a friendly, benign Clash.
Who sets the tone? Does that come from the artistic director?
Like-minded people gravitate?
I mean, he's been a great influence on both of us for...
Peter Piper, absolutely.
For years. I mean, I started my playwriting career to Paul. So I'm very happy and grateful to be a part of the company. And now that we've grown up together and have started collaborating...
He produced our plays first.
Yeah, he produced our plays that we wrote in high school when we were at New World.
In high school, you were writing plays that were actually produced. Bravo.
Yeah, part of our part of our festival there. But he's been guiding us both for many years.
There's a lot been written about the craft and art of acting, and it's been said that some actors have trouble losing their fear and committing to the moment. It sounds like your group pushes the envelope. How do you do that? How do you disconnect from reality, so to speak, to transport us, the audience, to another dimension?
We were just talking about this last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're on stage, you're not playing yourself. I mean, you're playing someone other than yourself who has an objective. So you're focused on a goal that's outside of yourself. So when you move the focus from yourself to someone else, to a need, and try and honestly pursue that need, a lot of the fear and the troubles go away.
The fear is somewhat necessary. I think you have to move through it. It takes great courage.
It's there. I mean, you have to risk. You have to risk. You have to...
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability is key.
A big part of it.
Yeah, vulnerability is key. And also just believability. Like at a baseline, we were talking about this. A lot of people rehearse plays, oftentimes don't get enough time, but the first thing we got to work at is, do I believe the person I'm seeing on stage? And I mean, it seems very simple, but like that's the key into it. And from there you find the magic.
Mad Cat does a lot of magic, and they do it in a very edgy, offbeat, pushing-the-envelope kind of way, do a lot of comedy. Samuel Beckett once said that nothing is funnier than unhappiness. Do you all feel that Beckett was right, and does that affect the selections at Mad Cat?
Absolutely. I remember quoting that when we were going through the play I wrote, The Full Length, about Isabella Blow. I probably can't say the title right now.
We've said it before here on NPR.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Blow Me was the title of it. It was a pun on her name.
The South Beach Comedy Festival as well.
It started off as Charming Acts of Misery.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was, yeah.
Yeah, two years ago was what it was called. That was a play I wrote. And it was a dark comedy, and it was rooted in, this woman who had attempted suicide 7 times before she unfortunately succeeded. But it didn't dote on that aspect. It was more of a celebration of her life and of a tragic representation of losing that kind of talent and that energy. and seeing her struggle through her disorder, through bipolar disorder, and through her will to move forward.
Well, it's summertime here. Summer can be a rather slow season in many of the art forms, but not at Mad Cat. You have some good things coming up this season. What's on tap during the summer months?
Well, we have a reading series we're part of. The South Florida Theater League has asked us to be a part of that. So we're doing Paul Tay's new play, Instant Classic, which is about a group of guys who are meeting together. They're a group of friends, and they're middle-aged, and they're working through the journey through that time period. And in the midst of the main character letting go of the other people in their lives that they're losing. So it's a comedy, and it's about middle age and letting go of people and ideas that matter to you greatly.
And the relationship's just naturally drifting apart over time.
Right.
Which sadly happens.
Happens.
Yeah. It does, and time moves very quickly. Before we know it, it'll be fall, and this is a big fall season at Mad Cat. It is your 15th anniversary.
It is.
Thea, what's coming up this fall?
We have our late summer, early autumn show, which is going to premiere on the 16th, and it's going to run through the 31st of August. We're going to have an official release on that very soon. We're just finalizing a few details. And then in the winter, end of fall, winter, we're going to be doing an expanded version of the play we presented at this past year at the South Beach Comedy Festival, which was called Gerald Ford Super Freak. And the expanded version will be called Metaford. And it's a sort of surrealistic look at the Ford presidency.
What was most surrealistic about the Ford presidency?
That George Harrison showed up to advise him on matters of state.
Seriously?
At certain points. Yeah. And that we did jump ahead several centuries and have an android president come and seek his advice on dealing with a pardon.
So this is definitely fantasy as opposed to history, huh?
Sci-fi.
Yeah, I know. There's a little history there. Just
it's rooted in truth.
Yeah.
But it goes all over
but
the
yes,
place.
But yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
I'm
right.
Curious, why did you change the title from Super Freak?
Well, we had both. We had two good titles. First, we had Gerald Ford Super Freak, which we're all very fond of. But then one night just came up with Metaford, and it's just, it's beautiful. And it is an expanded version.
The structure
will change. We're going to do rewrites. There will be some changes in plot and new characters added. So it is its own play as well. So we wanted to give it a separate title.
Oh, Instant Classic. The date for that reading series is August 18th at 8 p.m. That's a one-night event.
At the Sandbox
at Miami Theater Center.
And that's sponsored by the South Florida Theater League, who are doing readings all over by a variety of local playwrights this summer.
Mm-hmm. The theater scene's exploding here. There are so many local playwrights, so many local companies. It's a good time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're very keen. New work, especially for us, is
the bottom line.
The bottom line is we want to be writers, and you know, it's quite easy to exhaust the classics in a town that's spoon-fed a lot of stuff from New York and Chicago, but to really have Miami come into its own with its own writers is exciting for us.
Yeah.
You say you want to be writers. If you had to pick, you would rather write than act or direct?
Oof, this question.
I did.
That's true. You really don't.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna.
She's very good at all three. So, but.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thea was
too. Yeah. I'd say if I had to check right now, it would be writing and directing. It's nice to direct when you write because you have a good feel for it. But all three are nice. And we're happy to work wherever, whenever.
Well, we are happy to have had both of you on today with us on South Florida Arts Beat. Jessica Farr, Thea Reyna, thank you so much and good luck at Mad Cat.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Mad Cat Theater is located at 9816 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami Shores. For more information, log on to their website, madcattheater.org. And that's theater ending in R-E. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and we welcome our new Arts Calendar contributor, Ms. Marilyn Bauer, Director of Marketing and Government Affairs for the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean.
Now we catch up with the news director of US One Radio in the Florida Keys, Mr. Bill Becker, who 30 years ago co-founded a quite unusual event, the annual Lower Keys Underwater Music Festival. And Mr. Bill Becker, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
A pleasure to join you. Thank you.
Bill, take us back to the beginning. Tell us about how this festival began.
Well, a friend and I were looking for a cultural event to highlight an arts event that was Keys-wide. And the Lower Keys are kind of a rural area, a lot of nature here. And we both liked diving and we both liked music. So we said, can we put music underwater? We contacted a firm that Lubell Laboratories that has underwater speakers. They loaned them to us. We picked up the radio signal from the radio station here on Big Pine Key and put it underwater. We put music underwater for the divers and snorkelers and the sea creatures at Lou Key. Our radio station broadcasts a special selected list of music that kind of goes well underwater. We project that over the airwaves, and it's picked up by FM receivers on board about half a dozen boats that are moored at Lou Key. These are generally larger dive boats. They have the FM receivers. They then put it through a processor that puts that signal into a special underwater speaker. It's obviously waterproof. And it's capable of projecting music underwater great distances.
Now, how does that sound? You've actually enjoyed that for a number of years. What's the effect like?
Well, it's very interesting because sound underwater travels much faster than it does in the air. And as a result, you can't really tell what direction the music is coming from. It seems to surround you. And it not only comes through your ears, it comes through your jawbone and your skull, and you can feel the music. And it happens all at once because, like I said, sound travels five times faster in water than it does on land. If you wanted to tell which direction a sound was coming from underwater, your ears would have to be probably 5 feet apart.
Now, this wonderful festival, the 30th annual Underwater Music Festival, takes place, as you mentioned, in the Lower Keys in an area of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary called Lou Key Reef. That's spelled L-O-O-E. Lou Key Reef. Tell me about that reef. It is gorgeous, is it not?
Lou Key is one of the most well-developed coral reefs in the Florida Keys, and by that it means it can go from shallow areas, extremely shallow, to about 40 feet deep, and a lot of vertical separation. The spur and groove formation of the coral reef is very pronounced. It's probably one of the older reefs in the Florida Keys, and it really is very, very spectacular. It's one of the most popular reefs off the Lower Keys.
Tell me what snorkelers and divers will see in the aquatic life. When my wife and I were there about 20 years ago, we saw a vast array of sea life. Tell me, what can be seen?
Well, you'll probably see, of course, a lot of reef fish, angelfish. There are schools of tarpon that come through. We've even had dolphin, bottlenose dolphin come by. And some of the songs we play underwater are actually whale sounds. Now, we have not seen a whale yet, but I'm still waiting.
I remember seeing sharks, and while I was snorkeling, I was praying that those were the vegetarian nurse sharks. Do they arrive still?
Well, there are sharks in the natural world. They're in the ocean. They live there. We don't. And they're natural there. They're used to seeing divers. They're obviously not tame sharks, but they're habituated to seeing divers. And we have never in 30 years had any sort of a problem, even though we do play the theme song from Jaws.
Oh, no.
We get the divers to kind of look over their shoulder occasionally.
That's kind of mean, Bill.
We have a little fun. We do.
Now, also having a little fun are some costumed divers. What's that all about?
Well, we'd like to do something for the cameras. We have folks with video cameras down there, and they generally do a little story for us underwater. And we kind of have something visual, because otherwise it would just be the reef and some music underwater. So the divers this year we're doing Diving with the Stars, kind of a play on the Dancing with the Stars. We have divers who are going to be costumed as dancing pairs, and they will get out there in the water, and we assume twirl around and have a little fun and gyrate to the music.
That's marvelous. I hear through mutual friends of ours that sometimes Elvis even shows up.
We have had Elvis in the past, yes, complete with a guitar underwater, and that was one of the more unusual appearances that we've had. So it's always a lot of fun and something different each year.
Now, I understand Florida Keys artist August Powers has devised some underwater musical instruments. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, he is an amazing metal sculptor, and he usually tries to pick a marine animal and then combine it with some sort of an instrument. And I think he developed one year a trombone fish. Mandolin Ray. He kind of develops these names at the same time, and sometimes these musical instruments actually will play underwater. You can hear the horns. You can hear it. It's amazing what he's able to do with these metal sculptures, and he brings them out, and people bring them out and have fun with them underwater.
Wow, everybody gets involved in this. Now, I understand the festival carries a serious tone, the message of reef preservation. What do your, in essence, public service announcements sound like underwater?
Well, you know, we have the advantage of having pretty much of a captive audience underwater. And we intersperse the music with diver awareness messages, coral reef etiquette. We've developed these in conjunction with the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary about using your dive flags, about using the mooring buoys, being careful of anchoring, being careful of grounding on the coral reef, trash in the water, different things like this, and lionfish, of course. So we want to let people know that there is a serious message and that they need to do what they can do to lessen their own personal impact on the coral reef.
Today we're speaking with Bill Becker, the co-founder of the Underwater Music Festival. Bill, I understand reef etiquette, don't step on the coral, dummy.
Absolutely. Now, you know, the coral is a living animal. A lot of people don't realize that, but that is a living animal. It can be damaged by any touch. And so we want to lessen our own personal impacts on the coral reef. Don't touch the reef. Don't put your fins down. And don't let your equipment across the reef. It's very important.
Give us your assessment of the condition of the coral reefs you have seen in the past couple of years. They're still pristine, I would hope.
Well, we had a pretty serious decline, loss in coral cover during the 90s. But with the work that the sanctuary's been doing and the work that some of the coral nurseries down here are doing, the reefs are coming back. We haven't had a serious storm in the past 8 years, so the reef has gotten a chance to kind of redevelop, and it is showing signs that it is progressing, that we're doing better now. But still, it's not something that we can rest with, because, of course, we've got climate change, we've got ocean warming, ocean acidification. All these things are affecting the coral reef.
The theme this year, as mentioned, Diving with the Stars, and great fun during the 30th Annual Underwater Music Festival, taking place in the Lower Keys tomorrow, July 12th. I understand, Bill, there is a pre-festival party set for 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, Friday, July 11th, and it takes place at the Artists in Paradise Gallery. That's in Big Pine Key, I believe.
That's on Big Pine Key. That's where August Powers has his instruments, his underwater instruments. He'll be showing them off there, and we'll be kind of partying the night before the big underwater music festival Saturday.
So much to see and do above and below the beautiful Atlantic blue waters. You can go to lowerkeyschamber.com for more information. You can also go to FLA-keys.com/lowerkeys, or you can call the Chamber of Commerce in the Lower Keys, 305-872-2411 for more info. All over YouTube as well, just search for Florida Keys TV. And Mr. Bill Becker, co-founder of the annual Underwater Music Festival, now in its 30th year, thank you so much again, sir, for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure.
Let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is kitchen lingo. School is out. What a glorious time of year. Even if we are so far past the age of school days, we can revel in it via memory land. But with school out, I say, let's ditch English and teach a little summertime lingo. Summer in the kitchen, that is. Lingo, as defined by Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is A, a foreign language, B, the special vocabulary of a particular field of interest, C, language characteristic of an individual. Followers of A Word on Food will know that I got my start working in casual restaurants, diners, all-night barbecues, luncheonettes, etc. The rich language that became part of that world was as much an attraction to my ear as the food was to my other senses. The main body of this workplace language flourished in the late 1800s and up to the 1950s. It's possible that the fast food corporate world killed these colorful colloquialisms and slang, as well as the flavors of the regionally celebrated food found in these great old places in America then. But memories can survive, and I am intent on keeping mine and sharing them here. It was Bicycle Sammy in Key West at the Midget Bar, an all-night barbecue place I toiled in during only the second cook's job I had, who taught me much of kitchen lingo. Before we get to Sam the Man, I must also give due to Cowboy Fred at the Holiday Inn I worked in at Greeley, Colorado. Fred learned to cook in the Navy, and he traveled the world during his hitch. He had soup recipes in particular from all over the seven seas. One phrase he used that seemed to be his kind of Esperanto catch-all was shishidai. I have no idea how that would have been spelled. It was an expression he used for something that A, he couldn't seem to find at hand, and B, that he wanted me to go get him. That was made fairly improbable because A, I didn't know bupkis about cooking yet, and B, I wasn't a mind reader, nor am I yet. Let's go on a tour of kitchen lingo as I learned it slowly and with countless mistakes during my apprenticeship with Sammy of Key West. He would shout, growl, hiss, or coo these phrases, depending on his moods, which were more clear than these words. Adam and Eve on a raft, float 'em, was two poached eggs on toast. Shipwreck meant scrambled eggs. Deadeye equaled a poached egg. Burn one meant put a burger on the griddle. Bun pup was a hot dog. So was groundhog and Coney Island chicken, depending on his mood. A first lady was an order of ribs, referring to the first rib girl, Eve. On the hoof meant rare beef. Mike and Ike, which were also called the twins, were salt and pepper. Sea dust was salt, too. Sand was sugar. Yum yum was sugar, too. Squeeze one was orange juice, and shoot it yellow meant add lemon syrup to a soda. Gentlemen will take a chance was corned beef hash. Burn the British was a toasted English muffin. My grandmother hoped I'd appreciate Shakespeare. I do, but try using it in a kitchen. Going for a walk was to go, of course, and it's time for me to do that. Hey, I've just 86'd myself. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear The Egg. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome a new contributor. We're very excited to welcome to South Florida Arts Beat Ms. Marilyn Bauer, the Director of Marketing and Government Affairs for the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County. Marilyn, so great to have you join South Florida Arts Beat.
It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. And I know there's always so much going on in Palm Beach County. Where do we start?
Well, you know, that's what's so interesting about this area. You know, we'd like to refer to it as Florida's cultural capital because the diversity of offerings is really amazing. For example, one of the reasons we all love Florida so much is the fact that we can do things outdoors. Mm-hmm. And one of the most beautiful things to do outdoors is to watch Shakespeare under the stars.
Mm.
And the Palm Beach Shakespeare Festival is currently producing Much Ado About Nothing, starting in July in Carlin Park in Jupiter. And the admission is free, and you get to go into this beautiful park right by the ocean, sit down, and watch one of Shakespeare's finest romantic comedies. The Palm Beach Shakespeare Festival is a nonprofit professional theater, and they put these productions on every summer and have been doing so since about 1990. So it's very accessible. You can bring the kids along, and it's also great for date night.
Sounds marvelous. Can you pack a picnic?
Absolutely. You know, it's this beautiful setting in the park. So you can really enjoy yourself. It's really a special sort of Palm Beach County tradition.
Wonderful.
And then, you know, keeping with the indoor-outdoor sort of theme is the Norton Museum has this wildly popular program called Art After Dark. And it goes on every Thursday from 5 to 9. Again, it's free for Florida residents. And not only do you get curated talks on the current exhibitions, which right now they have this amazing exhibition on Barbie and Hot Wheels, but you see an interesting crowd, there's cocktails, there's food, great people watching. For example, and next Thursday they're doing Mambo Night, where they're going to have live Mambo music, and also showing a documentary about Mambo music. So it's a lot of fun. They have a great restaurant if you want to stay and have dinner. It's just a great night and has become sort of a must-go-to every Thursday night for a lot of locals.
I'll bring my conga drum.
Why not? Why not get in on the act? Well, the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival is celebrating their 23rd year, and they bring together old favorites and newly discovered classical music gems, and the orchestra is made up of musicians from all over the counties, and their performances, you just have to check on palmbeachculture.com/events, and you'll find that they have venues in Palm Beach Gardens, in West Palm Beach, and Delray Beach. And they are much loved in our part of the world.
Yes, we featured them on the show last week, a wonderful organization in Palm Beach County.
Now, of course, if you wanted to go to another wonderful organization in Palm Beach County, you'll want to come to the Cultural Council here in Lake Worth, because we have an amazing exhibition on right now. It's called Southern Exposure, New Work Now. It runs through August 16th. Admission is free. You can stop by any Tuesday through Thursday from 10 to 5, right in the heart of Lake Worth. And this is a really interesting show because it's what we call emerging artists. And these are artists that probably haven't had as many opportunities to show as, say, a mid-career artist. And it's really, really interesting. It's all kind of media, and it's paintings, and it's sculpture, and it's ceramics, and found objects. And there's even some wheatgrass involved in this exhibition. So it's certainly something that's fun. It's fun for all members of the family. And again, this is another great free evening, afternoon event for singles, families, whomever wants to come down and see some great art. And then right down the street from us, just a block away, is the Lake Worth Playhouse. And they are showing another much-loved production of Legally Blonde. And that's running all through July. So you can kind of come and see some visual art. You can walk down the street and see some performance art. And then there's also something called Going AWOL on the weekend of July 25th, which is at the Bruce Weber Gallery. And everybody is familiar with the Street Painting Festival, but this event has artists creating three unique large-scale murals in downtown Lake Worth on what were once blank walls on retail buildings. And it's a three-day live art event. And, of course, it also includes music, because that's how we do things here in Lake Worth. We always include a little music with our visual art.
I like that.
You can't miss Kimiko Yoshida's self-portraits at the Holden Lunz Gallery. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It's a full wall of these amazing color photographs, and it's a great trip over on Worth Avenue in Palm Beach.
Marilyn, wonderful events in Palm Beach County. Where can we find out more information about these and other events?
PalmBeachCulture.com/events.
We welcome again Marilyn Bauer, the Director of Marketing and Government Affairs for the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County, to South Florida Arts Beat. Marilyn, fantastic. Thank you for telling us about all the excitement in Palm Beach County.
Thank you.
And you can celebrate Miami's 118th birthday at Family Fun Day. That's tomorrow at History Miami, 101 West Flagler Street, downtown Miami. History Miami, the city of Miami, and downtownmiami.com cordially invite you to the 118th birthday celebration of Miami. You can make your own birthday hat. You can enjoy orange blossom inspired cupcakes and so much more. For more info, go to historymiami.org. And way down south in Dade County, Miami-Dade County, Biscayne National Park is looking for volunteers to assist park visitors at the Dante Fussell Visitor Center. Visitors greet and interact with visitors from all over the world. For an online volunteer application or more information about Biscayne National Park and volunteering opportunities, go to nps.nationalparkservice.gov/BISC, B-I-S-C. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Judith Bishop, Norman Van Aken, and Marilyn Bauer. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.